It's not a matter of erasing memories, but let go of them. Let them be in the past where they are. Don't try to bring them along with you as if they're the only thing that you have. Don't make them some earthly possession that you can't bear to let go of.
Welcome to Tell Podcasts. You're listening to encouraging words from Pastor John, bringing you truth and peace through God's word. In this episode, we talk about our memories. How can it be dangerous to hold on to our memories too tightly, even good memories? Think, evaluate, learn, lead. T-E-L-L. Tell. Now here's Pastor John, encouraging us to remember that Christ is greater than your memories. Thanks for listening.
We have a multitude of memories, good and bad, and little things can trigger them, and maybe some of them stick with us more than others. But how does God want us to view those memories? What's the proper place in our life for memories? And how can we reflect on those memories in a God-pleasing way that allows them to serve for good in our life, to help us focus on what is important? And how can we keep from letting those memories become stumbling blocks to us, or even idols that push God out of the way? Well, this morning we have a scripture text from the book of Philippians where the Apostle Paul is talking to us about his past. He's talking about his former life as a Pharisee, as a Jew of all Jews, a Jew who had as many accomplishments in keeping the law and being a righteous person, at least from an outward perspective, as anyone could have. But Paul's going to teach us that now, as a Christian living in Christ, and he emphasizes that in Christ, he views things quite differently. And that's what we want to look at. We want to look at how, as Christians living in Christ, living lives that are Christ-like, how do we view our past and the memories that fill up our past? And the important thing to remember in all of this is that Christ is greater than our memories. Greater in worth, greater in overcoming the troubles that we are stuck on. And God helps us to give up those lesser things, to hold on to that greater thing, and to press forward onto our goal. So let's take a look together now at Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 7. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So far, the words of our Lord. So, memories. Let's start with the good memories. Maybe you can count your good memories by looking at the number of trophies on the shelf in your office or your den at home. Maybe it's a holiday like a Thanksgiving meal where you got to spend time with family. Maybe it was a very special one because grandma was there. Or maybe the cousins from way across the country showed up. And that'll always be a special Thanksgiving in your mind and in your heart. Maybe it's the first time that you met your husband or wife. That moment is stuck in your head. Maybe it's just something good that happened yesterday and you're really happy about it and you're still thinking about it today. We could go on, and I'm sure I'll never list all the good memories that you have, and I wouldn't be able to list all of my own good memories if I sat down with a notebook and a pen and tried to write them all out. But sometimes those good memories can become more than just a pleasant thought. Sometimes that good memory is more than just a description of you and your past, and it becomes what defines you. If the only thing that describes who you are is the fact that back in high school or college, you won this game or you were the star, there's not going to be much substance to who you are today. Certainly not if that's the only thing that's motivating you. And when you think about living as a Christian, how is being the star in high school helping you to live a servant like life, reflecting the love of Christ today? Maybe you're stuck on that memory and you're just chasing after those glories. And so the only thing that's in your mind as you wake up every morning and plan your day out is, how do I reach a feeling like that way back when? How can I repeat that? How can I have that feeling again today or this week? How can I make sure that I'm going to have that feeling again? How can I be sure that I'm going to build up enough of these good memories that one day when I can't be active and I'm sitting in my recliner in some assisted care home, that I have enough memories to keep me happy until my days on this earth are over? And when you're more concerned about the memory, about the feeling that goes along with the memory, about having that feeling again, where is the focus of your mind and your heart? It's on that memory, and really, if you think about it, it's on yourself. You start to only look inward on how great you were or on how great you want to be, and suddenly a servant-like attitude isn't the first thing on your mind. Because that's not how you repeat those past glories. And in an extreme case, that can become an idol, right? What is an idol? An idol is anything that we place in competition with God that pushes God out of that first spot in our life. And along with that, all of the things that God wants us to do, to live and to love, to reflect the love that he has shown us. And even a good memory or a set of good memories can push God to the side if we get hung up on it or if we keep on chasing it. Maybe it even builds us up in pride. But now, what about those bad memories? Oh, those bad memories, those can get us too. And maybe it's even easier to get hung up on those. Because you think about that moment where you just missed out. Maybe you don't have the trophy on your shelf because you missed the shot or you dropped the pass. Maybe you remember a person that you missed out on having a relationship with, whether it be someone you had a love interest in, or maybe it was a member of your family that you know you mistreated, and you can't get that moment back. Because it happened, and that's the past. And now it haunts you. And you think, what could I have done differently? How could I be a different person? And now today, how is this going to affect me when I run into the same situation? I'm just that same person. I'm going to make that mistake again. And the bad memory defines who you are. And it becomes your stumbling block, because rather than thinking about what I can do today, I think about how can I avoid making the same mistakes from the past. And with the bad memories, there's often guilt. Because some of those bad memories revolve around sins that we've done, sins that we're ashamed to even remember that we've done. And yet we know that it's there. We can't push those memories away. We can squish them down, but they're going to pop back up. and you think, am I a Christian, knowing that I've done that? Do I really deserve to walk through these doors and come here and stand before my God and sing his praises and hear him say, I sent my son for you and you're forgiven. Come live in my love, when I know that I've done that? And God, it wasn't even that long ago. It was just this week. And I've been doing it for a long time. And I remember how it feels when I mess up like that, but it doesn't matter because God, I thought that way and then I did it again. And I just don't know if I can get over that guilt. Again, do you see how the focus is back on yourself? God, I can't get over it. God, I wasn't good enough. The memory, the definition that you put on yourself becomes greater than what God promises to you in his word. But that's where Paul is talking about how much greater Christ is. Because first of all, he says, everything that I thought was great and good, all those good memories that I like to build myself up with, well, I remember when I thought I was the perfect Christian. Well, the perfect God-fearer, because he didn't believe in Christ, but he believed that his works of persecution, of following the law, were doing him such a great favor. But he says, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. All of those past glories, everything that we like to build ourselves up with, the things that we like to tell people so that they understand a little bit about who we are, Paul says those are loss. He even goes as far as calling them garbage, refuse, rubbish, things that you're just going to throw away because they have no worth. And instead, he gets rid of those in exchange for the surpassing greatness of Christ. He exchanges the lesser for the much, much greater. And all those hang-ups, those hurts, the guilt, the deep, deep guilt of past sins. Christ is greater than that too. And that's what it means to be in Christ, to know Christ, and to know the power of his resurrection and a participation in his sufferings. Think of the gospel lesson we heard this morning. That woman who came to Jesus, she had many sins, and they were public sins. The people who were there with Jesus, they said about her that she was a very sinful woman, and they were surprised that Jesus was letting such a sinful and openly sinful woman come and touch him. And yet Jesus said to her, her many sins were forgiven. And being baptized into Christ, being a Christian, being called a Christian, is part of knowing that Christ is greater than all of those hang-ups. And similar language that Paul uses is heard in Romans chapter 6, where he talks about dying with Christ and having our sins crucified with Christ, being buried with Christ and being participants in the resurrection. He says, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we are no longer slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. And if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. And that's what it's saying here in Philippians, in the words we have before us. I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Along with that forgiveness, along with Christ being the greater thing that we're holding on to, He gives us something amazing, and that's eternal life. Remember Jesus' death and resurrection when you remember your memories. Put them in perspective. Remember which is the greater, and remember which is less. And remember how your Savior triumphs over your guilt and your fears. And remember that he also is in a place greater than the greatest accomplishments you've ever experienced. And with that focus in mind, press on toward your goal. Press on toward your goal, which is, of course, heaven. Paul says that our goal is heaven. We're thinking heavenward. We're certain of what we have in Christ Jesus. That's eternal life, and that's what you need to be looking at. Look through the lens of the cross toward your salvation, but also don't forget that you're not there yet. Because Paul isn't forgetting that he's not there yet. And that's important. It's more than just a statement of fact, but it's important because it keeps us from having a false idea about what it means to live a Christ-like life. Because Paul doesn't want any of his readers, any of us, to get the impression that at some point in this life, we're going to attain perfection, that we're going to be at a position where now we're not sinning, where now we've done it, and we can just coast and live out the rest of our days without any struggle against the old man. No. I have not attained this yet. I do not consider myself to have grasped it, but I press on toward the goal. He presses on, forgetting what is behind. Now, when you hear those words that he says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, you might think, does that mean I should never reflect on the good old days at all, and never think back to that great Thanksgiving I had with Grandma? Well, of course not. Because those are blessings that God's given to you. That's the way he's made our minds, to remember things, to grow from things, to learn from those things. It's not a matter of erasing memories, but let go of them. Let them be in the past where they were, where they are. Don't try to bring them along with you, as if they're the only thing that you have. Don't make them some earthly possession that you can't bear to let go of, as Christ calls you. Jesus once told a parable saying, the kingdom of heaven is like this. A man found a treasure in a field. And when he found that treasure, what did he do? He went and he sold all his possessions and he bought that field. Because what was in that field was of greater worth. That's how God wants us to view our memories. Yes, our memories are valuable, like that man's possessions, but Christ is far more valuable. We hold on to those memories at sometimes at the risk of losing the great treasure buried in the field, the great treasure we have before us of Christ Jesus. And Jesus also said, what can a man give in exchange for his soul? What good is it if you gain the whole world, yet lose your soul? That's the perspective we have as we press forward. And Paul gives us some more encouragement. He says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize. Football season is coming around the corner. It's a sports metaphor that Paul uses. The Roman, the Greek world, they liked their sports, they liked their races. And he says, press on as if to win the prize, to win, to get to the finish line. Athletes don't just show up when the season starts and start playing. They're training all year long. Olympic skiers? Yeah, it's the middle of summer. It's 100 degrees today. It'll be 100 degrees all week. And yet somewhere, those skiers are training, doing their weightlifting, traveling to other parts of the far reaches of the globe to get on some snow somewhere. Because there is no off-season when it comes to competing at the highest level. And Paul wants us to have that attitude, the attitude where every day is a wake-up and grind day. Every day is a wake-up, look at my goal, and press on toward it day. He wants us to look at what is in front of us, what Christ has placed in front of us to do as we live in him. We're called heavenward. God has called us to that goal. What does it look like to live a life of someone who is being called heavenward? Well, you can take as a starting point all of the relationships that we've focused on throughout this summer. All of those lessons in Christ-like love. How can you serve at your church? How can you serve in your role as husband or wife, as father, as child, as Christian friend, as friend to the stranger and friend to the unbeliever? How can you do what God places before you, whether it's cleaning up the house, whether it's driving someone to a place that they need to get because they can't take themselves there because they have no car, because they no longer can drive? If it's stepping in to serve in a role where someone has suddenly left and now there's a vacant spot, is it with your money, with your time, with your talents? Pressing on toward the goal can take many forms. But it's whatever Christ puts in front of you to do that you do. Because life is a timeline. It's not a circle. There's no second chances. You're not coming back as something else. It's not reincarnation. You're born. You die. And in between, there's all kinds of different points. And you're at a point right now, and you can look back and see all of these points, and you can look ahead and wonder what points are coming up. But the perspective is always that there is a goal at the end. And in fact, the world itself is on a timeline, right? God created it, and with that, he created time, and we know that there is a finite number of days that God has allotted for this world. And in the end, Christ will come back, and we will all be brought together with him. So how do you look back at that timeline appropriately and see those points? Well, remember what Paul says, be found in Christ Jesus. So look back at that point where you won the championship and see how it was in Christ a blessing for you. See how it was something that you grew from. See how it was a lesson that you learned. See how it prepared you for the things that God would place ahead of you in the days following that event. And now keep that in mind as you here in the present look for the opportunities that God will place before you. Because he will place opportunities before you. And you might think that they're small and insignificant, but that's what God has given for you to do. Because if he didn't have a purpose for you here, he wouldn't have left you still here on this earth. But he leaves us here to do his work, to be witnesses in this world, whether it's in our lives, in our words, whatever way it is, to continue living out that timeline until we reach our goal, all the while striving like a top-level athlete, putting in as much effort as we possibly can, striving to live a Christ-like life. Now, the book of Philippians is a book where Paul, throughout, is trying to instruct what it means to be Christ-like. In chapter 2, we have the beautiful words about Christ's incarnation and coming down and what it meant that Christ did not consider something to be grasped, the fact that he was God, but he gave that up. And being willing to give up things and positions and power for the sake of serving. And then in his closing remarks, he says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Beautiful words, and yet very open-ended, because there's a number of possibilities in which God will use you in service to be a Christ-like example. So as we look back on our memories, as I look back on this year, and in fact on a whole life of memories, I look and see, how has God blessed me as I live in Christ? How has God led me as I live in Christ? How has he crushed me with his law so that I see my sinfulness and my need for a Savior? How has he built me up with his everlasting words of forgiveness? And how, with an abundance of memories to see God's grace, to see how I have lived in his forgiveness, how will God continue to lead me that way in my life? And that's what I want you to remember this morning. Maybe I've sparked some memories in your mind that you hadn't thought of for a while. Maybe there was something that you were dwelling on as you came in here today. Think of those memories as how they fit in your life as you have lived in Christ. And think about how God will lead you as you go on. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to Tell Podcasts. Tell's mission is simple: teaching you the real gospel so you can teach others. Remember, truth brings peace. For more about Tell, visit us on Facebook or at tellnetwork.org.